Vera McConaughey, February 2017, and Dawn Burgess, interviewer. Let's start by just telling me what year you were born and where.
I was born in 1917 in the old town of Slave Lake called Sorage. And my maiden name was Vera Alina Duvall.
Where were your parents from?
My parents had moved there to Sorage from Athabasca. And from Athabasca, they had come from the state someplace. But we didn't live in Sorage very long. I think I was 3 months old when they left there. And we had moved from town to town to town. My dad was always on the move. And we finally ended up back in Athabasca when I was 11 years old in 1929. And the first thing I remember going into Athabasca was that big United Church. And I thought it was such a beautiful church, and it is. And I think it's older than I am.
Is that the big building on the top of the hill?
Yeah, it's on a hill, you know?
It's not the one that Dad goes to now?
Yes.
Oh, that's the one. Oh, okay.
And someday I'm going with him.
Yeah.
And Athabasca wasn't very big.
Did they call it Athabasca Landing back then?
It was called Athabasca Landing because that's where the boats and scows used to land years ago. And they always called it Athabasca Landing.
Dad said that Grandpa Duvall made boats.
What was that?
Dad said that Grandpa Duvall made boats on the landing? No?
No.
Or he asked me to ask you about that because he thought that he'd heard that he built some of the skiffs that would go down the river. They would just...
No, to tell you the truth, I don't know what my dad did, just odd jobs. But we, before we went to Athabasca, we lived in Black Falls, and then we lived in Lacombe. He bought a house, a rooming house in Lacombe. It's something like just to rent out rooms, and every room had a chamber pot under the bed or in a commode.
Yeah.
Because there was no bathrooms or anything them days. And I can't remember where we went after that, so many different places. But when we finally ended up in Athabasca, we were there. We moved to the farm for a while, out on a farm in the... out in the, not the forest district. Oh... Anyway, Cassie and I went to school there for a year, and then they moved back into town. And I can't just don't I don't remember what we did really for a while. And then when I was old enough, I left home. I didn't go to school very long because we moved so much. And I wasn't that good in school. So I didn't get a very good education.
What grade do you think you got up to?
I went to grade 7. But, and schools were a lot different than they are now. But anyway, I went out and done housework in different places. And in those hard times, believe me, they were hard times, a girl got $5 a month for keeping house, for doing housework. And I remember doing milking cows and feeding pigs and doing housework for $5 a month.
Who did you work for?
For who, wherever I got work. Mm-hmm. Different places.
So if you're
and I was so tight with my money, I didn't spend it. Believe me, that $5 was big to me. If I got a new pair of shoes, which I could get real nice ones in the catalog, for $2 or $2.50. I really took care of them, mm-hmm. because times were pretty tough then. And then I went to visit my sister in Busby, and that's where I met Doug McConaughey. And we were married when I was 18. And we lived on the farm there for a year in Busby, 4 miles out of Busby. And then we moved to Athabasca. And got jobs in the garage, and then they sent him for a mechanic course, and so he worked in the garages. And then he got a job out at Spurfield at the mill there, doing different things, mechanical work, and going out to the camps. They had different camps for cutting logs and stuff and bringing it in, and it was sawed at the mill there in Spurfield. And that was 4 miles off the highway. So if it rained, we done a lot of walking.
How many kids were born in Spurfield?
When we lived in Spurfield, I had Shani and Danny. And then we moved to Smith, to the mill here, and I had Tracy and Dean. And life wasn't always easy, but
How many kids did you have in total? How many children did you have?
I forgot to mention my children.
Well, you mentioned the 4 babies.
Well, I had Darlene. She was born in March of 1937. And
where was she born?
Darlene was born in Edmonton, and the others were born in Billy and Freddie and Karen were born in Athabasca. Jimmy was born in Lac La Biche. And then Noni was born in Athabasca. And we moved to Spurfield when she was five.
Did they go to school in Spurfield?
When she was three, we moved to Spurfield. And there was a little school in Spurfield. It was an old army hut, very cold. And then they built a new one-room school.
Tell me the story about how sometimes you and Grandpa would get to Smith.
About what?
How sometimes you would get to Smith.
Well, we... From Spurfield?
Yeah.
Well, we had a car. We just drove in, but there was times when a couple of places that were pretty bad, and if it rained too hard, you left your car there and walked because you were stuck.
And how far was the walk?
Oh, 2 or 3 miles to the track, and then down the track a ways into Spurfield. But
did you ever ride the train?
Oh, yes. When the train went through, there was a way freight that went through about 6 o'clock in the evening, and they always had a car on there for traveling, a coach. And then they took that off, so we just rode on a flat car. Or one time when my sister was out visiting, I told her I'd take her hoboing on the train. So we stood in front of a tanker and hung on. There was railings and ladders, and we hung on to that and rode into Smith. And she said, "Oh, I hope it doesn't stop on the bridge." And sure enough, it stopped on the bridge.
And you were hanging.
I said, "Well, just don't look down." And then we come back on the train. I think it left at 10 o'clock. All the coaches, and it was going up to Peace River or someplace, and we'd ride back to Spurfield. I think it cost 20 cents or something like that, and it stopped at Spurfield, so it was quite an experience. But I wouldn't want my kids to do it now. But
did you have power in Spurfield?
They had a what do you call it?
Generator?
A big generator. And a few places had power, a couple of different houses, but they shut that off at 10 o'clock at night. So when we moved there, I had an electric washing machine. It had to have electricity, but it didn't come on till a certain time in the day. and then it was off at 10, so it kept me busy trying to get washing done. And then we got a motor for the machine. And now what?
Can you tell me about when you were living in Athabasca? You told me a story once about your lunch. Great-grandma would pack for you and Auntie Cassie?
Oh, that's when we lived in school. Out at Parkhurst School District, when we lived out on the farm, when we first went there. And we were about a mile from the school. And Grandma would pack our lunch in lard pails. Cassie had a 5-pound lard pail and I had a 3-pound lard pail. And Mom made our lunch with homemade bread, of course, and lard and brown sugar, because we had no butter. Mm-hmm. And she'd fill our pails to the top, and usually Cassie ate all hers and then it'd go into mine. And we carried milk home. We'd go the long way home up the road and stop at Kerner's place, and they'd put milk in our lard pails, and we'd take milk home from the neighbors. But
that's a nice memory. And did you ever go to dances when you were young?
We never missed a dance. If there was a dance in the old schools, I remember when we went to Parker School, there was always a dance for something. And with a fiddle and a guitar, that's all there was. And our teacher that year put on a box social and a dance to make money so she could buy us a Christmas present. And she, a box social was the women all packed a lunchbox, like in a shoebox or something. And then they raffled these off, and the men would try and get somebody that they didn't know whose box it was, but if they figured out it was somebody's that they liked, they would add a little more. Of course, I don't think anybody paid any more than $4 or $5, because nobody could afford it. But that was money for the kids for school, for Christmas presents. And I remember she sent in the catalog and got us all a little zippered case with books and crayons, and there was scribblers and pencils and a whole bunch of stuff, and we just thought that was so great.
What was her name, do you remember?
Her name was Annie Millen, and it was her brother that was a policeman that was shot when that trapper was on the loose, and he'd killed a he had killed somebody, and then he killed that policeman. It was her brother.
When was that?
That was in 1930, maybe.
In this area?
In way up north someplace. And
was that the only present you would get?
The presents, that would be a... We did, if we got one thing, we were so happy. Mm-hmm. And now, and we appreciated what we got. I don't think kids do anymore.
No, I don't. I agree.
And
now, Aunt Cassie, she stayed in Athabasca, didn't she?
Athabasca. My sister Cassie lived there, and she married. She worked in the hospital for a while, and then she married Jim Rogers. But she had Heather, her daughter Heather. But she married, I've left out a lot of...
That's okay.
My dad died in 1941. And my mother married Harry Overholt in 1942.
Where was he from?
He lived across the river, and at Saudi, in the Saudi district. And she lived out there for a while, and then they moved to BC.
So most of your children didn't know Grandpa Duval? They didn't get to meet him?
No, Billy was 1 year old when my dad died.
Was he sick?
He had stomach cancer.
Oh.
And he was 76, I think. But those were hard times.
Tell me about your siblings.
Well, I never, I remember my brother Mike when I was about 5 years old, I think the last time I had seen him in Edson. I can just remember him. And then I never seen him again till I was 50.
Where did he go?
When my mom died.
Why?
He was in the States. And I don't know, he just never came back.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was years when I never saw my brother Cliff either. He was in BC, but he'd come home once in a while. And my sister Cassie and I were close because she was always around home. And she married Jim Rogers, and they moved to BC for a while. And then they looked after Mom.
What about Aunt Flo?
My sister Florence married Dave Smith from Saskatchewan, and they lived there for a while, and then they moved to BC. And to Penticton. So I didn't see too much of her, except when I'd go out to visit Mom. And Cassie and Jim lived there in BC, looking after Mom and Harry. And then after Mom died, they moved to Athabasca. And they were just there a short while when Cassie had a heart attack and died. She died, my sister Flo died in 1977. In 1974, and my sister Cassie in 1975, 76, and my husband in 77, three in a row. Mm-hmm. And then after he died, I stayed right here where I still am. Up on the hill across the river from Smith.
How long have you lived in this house?
This house was down in the mill yard, and we had it pulled up here in the acreage in 1968. And
you lived right in the mill yard?
Yes.
How was that?
Well, it wasn't bad. We were just back a bit, but it was all right. But I love it up here.
Dean used to have fun with all of the equipment operators, I heard, when you lived in the mill yard.
What was that?
Dean. My dad said that Dean used to play in the mill yard and ride with all of the equipment operators when he was little?
I don't know.
Maybe you didn't know about it.
No, I don't know.
When you had your children, were they all born in a hospital?
Yes.
And back then, how long did you get to stay in a hospital?
When you had a baby in them days, you stayed in there for... You were right in bed for at least 9 days. And the 10th day, they let you sit up in a chair while they change the beds and things. And then you go home the 11th day, just so weak. And then when Danny was born, was the first time that I was able to get up out of bed on the third day. But I was sick, and I had to have blood transfusions. So, but anyway, I got home within a week. But... And then when Tracy was born, I had to have blood transfusions. And I was there a little longer in the hospital.
My name is Gordon Willis, and this is February 23rd, 2017. You didn't mention Doug used to drive bus, right?
Yeah.
Passenger bus from Edmonton?
Canadian coachways. But I never mentioned being married or anything. I don't think.
So how many years did you drive bus, your husband?
Doug drove the Canadian coachways bus for about 4 years. And then he worked in the Slim Nelson's garage.
Mm-hmm. And so you talked about Spurfield and places like that. And,
we moved to Spurfield in 1968, I think it was. No, it couldn't have been. 1948. Mm-hmm. In 1948. And we lived there for 5 years. But I think I told all that.
Mm-hmm. After you moved to Smith, you belonged to quite a few different clubs, didn't you?
Yeah. We moved to Smith in... what year would that be? 1954, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Where Doug worked in, at the mill, and we lived in the mill yard.
Who owned the mill there then?
Stelter. Stelter Mill. Reinhard Stelter.
Doug worked there until he retired, eh?
Yeah. Doug worked there for a few years.
As a mechanic?
Yeah. And then we moved the house, moved our house up the hill, across the river. And we had to move it all the way around by Mitsu, because it wouldn't cross the bridge. And Gordy Willis drove the truck to bring it around. And we lived here about 9 years before Doug died in 1977.
And you belonged to different clubs?
Well, I used to go to I have my life membership with the Ladies Auxiliary,
mm-hmm.
to the Legion. And of course we go to the Seniors Drop-In Center, and
you've been involved with Gentle Ben?
Yes, we have a Gentle Ben Society, a care society for older people. And it's a good thing for our little town, because we can hire a driver to go to wherever we need to go, in Athabasca or Slave Lake or Westlock or to the city. And we pay a certain amount, and the Gentle Ben pays the rest. And we also have it for house cleaning. I have a housekeeper that comes in every 2 weeks. And it's just a great thing for our town, because I don't think any of the neighboring towns have it.
And you used to have a lot of card parties?
We used to have card parties. They do in the center yet, but we used to, years ago, before Doug passed away, we had, when there wasn't so much TV, we had card parties every Sunday night at one place or another. And we'd have 4 or 5 tables. And there was 4 or 5 families that we went every Sunday night. And that was great then. Now there's no time for anything like that. But the Seniors Drop-In Center have cards just once a month, where they go from Slave Lake all the way up to High Prairie in the winter time. But otherwise, our little town is very slow. But we're thankful for those things.
And you go to the suppers and jam sessions?
The drop-in center has a supper every once a month on the last Saturday of the month. And we have jam sessions. They come to play from all over the place, from Slave Lake and Athabasca, and we've had them come from way on the other side of Slave Lake, from all over. Of course, all the musicians get a free supper, but it's a good night, because even though we pay $10 for a supper, we have all that music to listen to. They come about three, because they like to practice. And
so when you first started the interview, you talked about your teacher and her brother being a policeman that was shot. Do you remember the name of that trapper?
The trapper was that I talked about before was Albert Johnson. And I think it was in the 30s. That's going back a long way.
He was called the Mad Trapper of Rat River?
Yes, he was called the Mad Trapper. And I don't know, I can't remember what he done to... I can't remember what mm-hmm. he done to cause all this. I don't...
Mm-hmm. The one thing, when you had your house moved up here, I was the one that hauled it, but Butch was involved, Butch and I, and Leo Letourneau. Can you just add that in there? When we moved the house, it was Butch and I that moved it. And Leo Letourneau was our pilot car. Remember, he was drunk when we got here?
I don't remember that.
He was drunk when we got here. Leo.
He was what?
He was drunk by the time we got here. He was supposed to be our pilot car.
Going back to when we moved the house, Gordy Willis, my son-in-law, drove the truck, and I believe Butch, I don't know if Butch Grayling was with him.
Yeah, Butch and I moved it.
And from the mill. And Leo Letourneau was the pilot man. And driving by himself. And he was pretty well plastered by the time he got to where the house was to be. But he was having a good time. Anyway, we've lived up here. I've been up here for 48 years. It'll be 49 this summer. And I just love it up here. Doug passed away in 1977. And I've stayed right here because I've got good kids to help me. And my daughter, Noni, brings down something for me to eat because she has to cook anyway. So she brings a plate down every day. And my grandson lives in the same yard, so... And the place belongs to him now. So they have cut my grass and do a lot of things for me. But I'm still able to live in my house alone, which I'm very thankful for.
You're still pretty active?
I done a lot of traveling after... Oh, I started in my 70s and 80s, but 70s and 80s that I traveled. But I went to Australia with my granddaughter in 1985. And because I have a niece living there. And we were there for 4 months. And then I went back to Australia in 1974 by myself and stayed for 2 months. And then Gwen Wilsonholm and I traveled, took a bus trip every year. We'd wait for the brochure to come so we could pick out a place to go. And we really enjoyed that. And I traveled till I was 85. But now I just like to stay home.
And you still like to walk?
I go down to our new hall, and it's open for walking on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So I go down there there's a walker there, and I walk, which is good for me. Because now I am 99 years old, and I'm still enjoying my life, and I like living alone here and having company, and the kids come home. It's nice to have them.
Well, that's pretty good, Mom.
I was thinking the other day, I was laying there, I can lay there with my eyes closed for hours, just resting my eyes. And I was thinking of what I should say, and I had a long, long story, and then when I go to say it, I can't think of anything.
Well, I think you did well.